Today's daf is Sanhedrin daf Chof Gimel, and we are 10 lines from the bottom of daf Chof Beis Omid Beis. So yesterday's daf, which was also Chamishas above, just a little confused because we're not learning many of the daf in Bay Bayayim, but Rabbi Usha Shapiro pointed out to me that you see how very often the daf Yoimi is in sync with the Nyonad Yoimi, with things that are going on in the world. Chamishas Asaba'av, Kiyadua, Nesfar Maktoishim is a day that's misugal for Shidduchim. People daven for Shidduchim on Chamishas Asaba'av, based on the minhag that existed. Bizman Shabbos HaMikdash HaYakayim, there were 2 days. And people used to work on Shidduchim. Yesterday's daf spoke all about Shidduchim, Arbom, Yoim, Koyim, Yitzir, Savlad. Sometimes it's Vakashal, Zavgon, Kikriyas, Yamsov, Ein Ishtoi, Shal, Odomeso, Eshus, Neurim, Mizbeach, Murdol of Dmoy. So there was a whole omid almost of Gemara that talk about Zivugim, talk about Shidduchim, very much in sync with the Nyonad Yoimi. But at the very end of the daf, the Gemara went back to the Mishnah, where the Mishnah discussed the Kohen Gadol, Kohen Hedyot, Melech, when exactly or how often they needed to take a haircut. So, Hatzad HaShavah Shebehem is they couldn't grow their hair too long. They couldn't have a really big chop. The question is, how often did they have to shave? The Melech, every single day. The Kohen Gadol, every Erev Shabbos. The Kohen Hedyot, every 30 days. The Gemara Stakasha, that if there's a halacha that a Kohen Hedyot has to cut his hair, at the very least, every 30 days, how come Bezman Hazeh, we have Kohanim, they're all Kohen Hedyots, so if we have Kohanim, how come they're not careful? A Melech, we don't have today. A Kohen Gadol, we don't have today. But a Kohen Hedyot, we do. So why is it that a Kohen Hedyot does not have an obligation to observe this halacha, which is that he's not going to let his hair grow beyond 30 days? And to add injury to insult, the Gemara said there's another halacha that applied to Kohanim, Bizban, Shabbos, HaMikdash, HaYikayim, and that is that they couldn't drink. They couldn't get inebriated. They couldn't be over the limit. And the reason is, because if they were, then if they may come to do the Avoida, and if you do the Avoida as a Shtuye Yayin, you're being Mechal the Avoida. And that's something that the Rabbanan hold as Asa Bizman Hazeh. So just like the Isser Shtuye Yayin is Asa Bizman Hazeh, the Gemara asked the Kasha that the Isser Pruye Roish should be Asa Bizman Hazeh as well. So there was a whole half a Amid or so Gemara that went back and forth. And one thing that emerged from the Gemara is that there are two Psukim in Sefer Yecheskel, Perek Mem Dalet, that are adjacent to each other. One of them discusses the Isser Shtuye Yayin, the other discusses the Isser Priye Yorish, and the Gemara made a hekish. The hekish was that Mash Shtuye Yayin B'miso, just like a Koyin, if he was inebriated, and he would do the Avodah, he would be Chayiv Miso, albeit B'dishamayim. So too, a Priye Yorish, someone that has a big chup, he's a Kohen, and he does the Avodah, he would be Chayiv Misa as well. So the Gemara picks up on that note. Amalei Rabbi Nadal Rav Ashi, Rabbi Nadal Rav Ashi, hi, Adaloi Osa Yecheskel Man Amra. We learned a very important halacha from Sefer Yecheskel. Yecheskel said, based on this hekdesh, the two psukim being juxtaposed right next to each other, that just like a Kohen that does the Avodah in a state of Shtuye Yayin is Chayiv Misa, so to a Kohen that does the Avodah in a state of Purim Rosh is going to be Chayiv Misa as well. Now, if it's a pasuk in Sefer Yecheskel, presumably before Yecheskel came, we didn't know that halacha. So the Gemara's kasha is, does that make sense? Hi, Adaloi Asa Yecheskel Manomer. What, Yecheskel's being Mechadish halachas? That doesn't seem reasonable. We probably knew it before Yecheskel, but if Yecheskel is the first one to teach it to us, how then did we know it? But the Gemara says, according to you, I'll tell you another halacha that we learn from Sefer Yecheskel. Rav Chizda said, the following halacha that I'm about to reveal to you is something that's not mefurish anywhere in Teres Moshe. It's not in Bereshit Shmos Vayikra Bamidbar Dvarim. Rather, who's the one who taught it to us? Yecheskel. It's a pasuk in Yecheskel, also Perek Mem Dalet. Kol ben nechar orol lev orol basar layavay el mikdash. We learn from there that a Kohen who's an Aro, a Kohen who did not have a bris milah, and by the way, when we say that the Kohen is an Aro, it doesn't mean that he blatantly violated the second mitzvah in the Torah. It could be he didn't have bris milah because his brothers died machmas milah, and as a result, it's sakana for him. He's not allowed to have a bris milah. But the bottom line is, if a Kohen is an Aro, Loyavay el mikdashi l'shaseni, he's not allowed to do the avodah. And that too is a pasuk in Yecheskel. So Rav Chizda said, Adloi bo Yecheskel man amra. Had we know this is a very important halacha. Had we know the halacha before Yecheskel came, Ella, it must be Gemara Gemirila. We probably had a tradition. We probably had a Mesoira of this halacha, v'asa yecheskel v'asmecha akra. Meaning, we know that the Torah is really made up of two parts. There's Torah shebiksav and there's Torah shebapeh. Torah shebapeh are dinei Torah, dinei de'oraisa, that by definition were transmitted orally. They're not mefurish anywhere in the Torah. This halacha that's learned out from Yecheskel, that kol ben necher oral leva oral basa lo yave al mikdashu l'sharseni, must have been a halacha that we knew before Yecheskel came. Had we know it, it was transmitted orally. We had a Messiah. It was Torah Shabbat Pesach. Everybody knew the halacha. All Yecheskel really did was he created a pasuk. He retrofitted a pasuk so that now it's not just Torah Shabbat Pesach. There's an element of Torah Shebiksav as well. Says the Gemara, Hachanami, we must say the same thing with regards to this idea that Purei Roish Achayim Misa B'dei Shamayim, that Gemara Gmir, though we had a Messiah that it was the case, Yecheskel wasn't the one that was Mechadish it, but rather all he did was Va'asa Yecheskel, Va'as Mecha Akra. Says the Gemara, going back to the Pasuk in the Yecheskel, that talks about the Isser for a Kohen Hedya to grow his hair too long. Says the Gemara, my kosam yichsimu es rishayim. So the literal meaning is that he should trim his hair. What does it mean, he should trim his hair? Tana kemin taspeiras lulain is. So Bryce said that this pasuk in Yecheskel is referring to a very specific type of haircut. The Kohen Hedya was supposed to get the lulainus haircut. My tespiras lulainus, I'm Rabbi Yehuda Mashmul, tespiras yichida. I'm getting a little bit closer. We still don't know what it is. Rashi says, no, it's a really nice look. The indug masa, it's unique. There's nothing like it. So the Kohen had a very unique hairstyle. Heichidami, Amravashi, Roishoy Shalzeh, Bitzad Ikroy Shalzeh. What it means is that the head, the top of one of the hairs, would be right next to the root of the next hair. So no two hairs were touching each other. So try to visualize that. But no two hairs are touching each other. This is a very unique type of hairdo. And that's what the pasuk means when it says, Kasam yichsemu es roshe. But this here, it's just roshe shalzeh, but it's not ikri shalzeh. Shalu es Rebbe. They asked Rebbe, Ezo tispiru shal kohen gadol. Is there any, can you draw a picture of the tespiros of the Kohen Gadol, the haircut that the Kohen Gadol used to have? Amar Lemzi, he told him, Tzur Umi tespiros of Ben Alasha. Go take a look at Ben Alasha's haircut. Look at his hairstyle. That's the way the Kohen Gadol. Ben Alasha, Rashi says, was Rebbe's son-in-law. He was also very wealthy. Rebbe Kiyadula was very wealthy. He was wealthy and he spent a lot of money to have somebody teach him and actually experiment on him. What exactly does haircut look like? Tanya Rebbe Yomer Le'achinam Pisa Ben Alasha Esma'isav. Another brisa that says the same thing, that Rebbe once said that, you know, Ben Alasha spent a lot of money to have a certain haircut. You think he just did it? Avek Kevar Fenegelt Le'achinam Pisa Ben Alasha Esma'isav Elokidei Laharis by Tespiris Shal Kohen Gadol. The reason he did it was because he wanted to show the world what the Tespiris of the Kohen Gadol was. So just before we begin the third parak, a really festive parak in Shas, parak Zebayr, just one ha'ara regarding this last Gemara. So we had over here a halacha that was learned out from Sefer Yecheskel. The Gemara asked the Kasha, "Hi, Adlo Yosef Yecheskel man Orah. Can't be Yecheskel was the first one to tell us this halacha. So until Yecheskel came, if we didn't have the pasuk in Yecheskel, how did we know it?" Says the Gemara that it's not a Kasha because Avada, even though we learned it from Sefer Yecheskel, we knew the halacha before Yecheskel came around. We had a Messiah. We had a tradition. It was a part of the Torah Shebal Peh. All Yecheskel really did was he created an asmachta. He wrote a pasuk in his Sefer Yecheskel, which is an asmachta. It's a remez of some sorts to this halacha. But of course, Yecheskel was not the Mechadish, and what emerged was two halachas in Sefer Yecheskel that really we knew before Yecheskel. All Yecheskel really did was create the asmachta. This Gemara Masechtas Nedarim, Daf Chav Beis Amid Beis. Amar Rav Adab Reb Chanina, El Moli Chatu Yisrael. Were not for the fact that the Yidden sinned, said the Yidden not done Averis. Had they gone into Eretz Yisrael, maybe Moshe Rabbeinu would have led them into Eretz Yisrael, they would have built the Beis HaMikdash. Had they not done Averis, had there been no Avodah Zarah, Gilah Raya, Shlichus Damim, had there been no sin as Chinam, had the Yidden not sinned, we would never have had any additional Sifrei Tanakh. We would have had Beresh, Shmoyz, Vayikra, Bamidbar, Dvorim, and Sefer Yeshua. Sefer Yeshua we need simply because it tells us how exactly to divide the land. But other than that, we would have never gotten. Why? My time, Kibir Rav Chachma, Rav Kas. And the Rishonim explained that the majority The majority of Sifrei Nach is the Nevi'im either giving Musr to the Yidden, Chazon Yishayo, or giving Nechama, Nachamu, Nachamu Ami. That is the majority of the Nevi'im. So if the Yidden would have never sinned, you wouldn't need Chazon Yishayo, and at the same time, you wouldn't need Nachamu, Nachamu. So all the Nevi'im that we have, Yirmiyo, Yecheskel, everything, we only have because of the fact that we sin. But Ulmale Chotu Yisrael, Loinitam Abelach, Hamishachum Sheitayr, Vesefi Yishol, Bevat Freik, the Maritzchios, right here on this Gemara Nedarim Chaf Beis Amadeis. Is that true? The whole Sifrei Nach is just one big Musar Shmuz. There are many halachas that we learn out from Nevi'im Uksuvim. We learn Hilchas Avelis from Yecheskel. We learn Hilchas Tvila from Chana and Eli. There's many important halachas that we learn out from Nevi'im Uksuvim. So Freik, the Maritzchios, how could the Gemara say Umalichat Yisrael Nitan Lamelech Hamishachum Sheitayr V'Sevi Yisrael Bovad? It's not true. We would need the parts of Nevi'im Uksuvim that relate to halacha, because otherwise, how would we know the halacha? Says the Maritzchios. You know what the answer is? Sanhedrin Chaf Beis Amud Beis. And it's also Gemara Tainis Daf Yudzayin. It's a Gemara in other places in Shas as well. But this Gemara that we just learned is the Teretz. It's Pashut that even though there are halachas that are learned out from Nevi'im Uksuvim, those respective Nevi'im were not the Mechadesh of those Psukim. Like the Gemara asks the Kasha, Hai Adela Yossi Yecheskel Man Omro. Of course we knew these halachas before Yecheskel came. All the Nevi'im did, whether it's Yecheskel or Shmuel, it doesn't matter who, they were just creating an asmachta for a halacha that had been otherwise transmitted orally. But certainly they weren't mechadish anything. So would we know Hilchas Avelis had there not been Sefer Yecheskel? Of course we would. Would we know Hilchas Tvila without Shmuel Aleph? Of course we would. Those psukim serve as a written source, a slash, a smachta, for something that we would have anyways known. Thus, of course, by there not being Nevi'im Uksuvim, we would not have lost that on any halach. Why then do we have the Nevi'im Uksuvim? It was because of the Musar. Yeah, but derech agav, there's some halachas that we learn out. But it's all because of the Musar, and that's why the Gemara could say, Omole chatu Yisrael, lo'initam lehem ela chamishei chum shei teira, v'sefi yeshul b'vat. That's the first order. The second order is that I saw in the Margolis Ayam, so he has a little bit of a digression, with regards to the idea of asmachta, the concept of asmachta. Now, we have in our Gemara asmachta in the context of Sifrei Nevi'im, Yecheskel. Yecheskel was the one that was asmacha krop. But the truth is, there's many Gemaras in Shas where the Gemara derives halachis through this vehicle known as asmachta, not based on psukim in Nevi'im, but based on psukim in the Torah. You have asmachtas in the Torah. So what's the concept of an asmachta? The Gemara will bring a halacha, learn the halacha from a pasuk, but for whatever reason, this halacha is not a din d'oraisa. It's only a din d'rabbanan. Shtal tzich defraga, if it's a din, if it's learned out from a pasuk, how can only be a d'rabbanan? Isn't something that's learned out from a pasuk by definition a din d'oraisa? So the Gemara says, no, really it's a din d'rabbanan. The pasuk asmachta ba'almehi. So this is something that we've seen many, 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 many times. So he has a little bit of a digression here with regards to how you understand asmacht. And the first Maramokim that he quotes is a Ritva Mesechtes Rosh Hashanah Daf Tezayin Amidbeis. This is often quoted, it's a well-known Ritva, where the Ritva brings that he saw people make a horrible mistake in terms of how you're supposed to understand an asmacht. And that is that said, that he heard some say, that the gedder of an asmacht is that really the Torah never intended to say the halacha that the Gemara is learning from the pasuk via asmachta. Because had the Torah intended to tell me this halacha, it wouldn't be a din d'rabbanan. It would be, by definition, a din d'oraisa. Really, then, the Torah had no intention to ever say this halacha. The halacha is a din d'rabbanan. The Chachamim, however, they found some cute, almost remez, and asmachta to the idea in the Torah. And it's for that reason they were asmecha akra. But if you want to know what the kavana of the Torah was to teach this halacha, no. Because if the kavana of the Torah was to teach this halacha, then it wouldn't be a din d'rabbanan. It would really be a din d'oraisa. So says Ritva, he's heard people say that. But he says, those people are minim. They're apikorsim. And chas v'sholem yishtaka hadavar v'lo yeyomer shizu das minusu. No way in the world. Says Ritva, so what then is an asmachta? When the Torah, when the Chachamim darshan asmachta, the way you have to understand it is that really the Torah did have in mind to teach me this halacha. If the Torah had in mind to teach me this halacha, then by definition it should be a din d'oraisa. Says the Ritva, the Rabbanan understood that certain psukim, the Torah was telling us, b'loshen chayva, you have to do it. And then there are certain drushes that are there They're clearly telling us that this is a davar chashuv, it's important, but not b'lashon chayva. And it's almost like they're talking to the rabbana, they're talking to Chazal, they're talking to the rabbis, and they're telling them, listen, I'm going to give you an insight. This is an idea that really could be off. We're not answering it. If someone violates it, he's not over in the Sedei Raisa. It's not something that you do have to do or you don't have to do. But at the same time, it's a toiva kamash malon, that there's an interesting concept, something that if you feel necessary to implement, you should go ahead and implement it. So is the Torah the one that's talking? Yes, certainly. This is not just some remez that the Rabbanon are working backwards and they're somehow coming up with. There's no question that the Torah is talking when you have an asmachta. And the Torah is telling you this halacha. What then differentiates between a regular din d'oraisa and an asmachta? A din d'oraisa is a chayva, you have to do it. An asmachta is just a giloy. It's an insight for something that's chashuv, but it's not necessarily something that you have to do. So those are the two tzadim of the Ritva, v'advarim you do. But I'll tell you something that's not so you do. And that is that Rabbi Yosef Engel, in a sefer, Beis Oitzer, brings from the Likutei Maharil, that the Likutei Maharil said, he says that whenever you find an asmachta, was the Torah telling you this halacha? No. Like the tzad that the Ritva brings and he refers to as minus. There's nothing to talk about. The Torah is not telling you this halacha. Because if the Torah was telling it to you, it would be a din d'oraisa. An asmachta is something that's inherently a din d'rabbanan. So if it's a din d'rabbanan, there is no pasuk in the Torah that says it. Because if there's a pasuk in the Torah that says it, it wouldn't be a din d'rabbanan. It's an inherent contradiction. It can't be. What then is the concept of an asmachta? The Rabbanan on their own made believe, listen to this, made believe that it's a din d'oraisa. They created a pasuk to make it look like it's a din d'oraisa. And why would they have done that? The reason they did that was because they felt that if the people, the Hamoinam, would think that it's a din d'rabbanan, they wouldn't take it seriously. So they tried fooling the tzibur. They wanted the tzibur to think that it's a din d'oraisa. So they created a pasuk for it, thus the asmachta. But you want to know if it's a din d'oraisa? No, it's not a din d'oraisa. It's a din d'rabbanan. Where does the pasuk get involved? Nowhere. This is all make-believe. Why are we doing it? We're doing it to fool the tzibur. Because we want the tzibur to think it's a din d'oraisa, when in fact, really, it's a din d'rabbanan. Rabbi Yosef Engel brings this in Beis Oitzer, and he says, and I quote, "V'lo ya'amin klal sheyotzu mipi kodesh ha-maril zah." Says it's quoted in the Likutei Maharil, and I do not believe the Maharil ever said that. And then he says, you should just know, as an FYI, ke'alikutin hanal, the Likutei Maharil were not written by the Maharil. Maharil himself did not write the Likutei Maharil, but rather one of his Talmidim, who observed different things that the Maharil did and different things that the Maharil said, he sat down and he compiled what he called his Likutei Maharil. But the Maharil himself didn't write it. Zokter Yosef Engel, I don't know who this Talmud was, but he must have made a mistake. Because I do not believe that the Maharil would have ever said something like that. That the Geder of an Asmachta is a regular din d'rabbanan that has no shaykhis to the Pasuk that's being quoted in the Gemara. And the whole purpose of the Pasuk is to make it look like it's a d'raisa, so that people should treat it like a d'raisa and shouldn't treat it like a d'rabbanan. She'yatzu mipi kodesh. So says Rabbi Reuven Margolis, I'm going to tell you something very, very interesting. I'll tell you something very interesting. You know, there's a sefer called Maiserav. We quote from the Maiserav a lot. What's the Maiserav? So it's Likutim from different Hanhogos of the Vilna Gaon. So after the Vilna Gaon was Nifter, one of his Talmidim sat down and he compiled a lot of different customs of Maron, the Vilna Gaon, and he wrote what's called the Maiserav. And the Maiserav is fascinating. There's a lot of halacha mentioned in the Maiserav. It's very much like a Shulchan Aruch, like a Kitzer Shulchan Aruch. But there's a lot of Marganisa Tavis tucked away in the Sefer Maaser Rav. Before the Maaser Rav was written, so the Talmud that wrote it sent a letter to Reb Chaim Volozhin. Reb Chaim Volozhin was the Talmud Muvik with the Hey Ayudia of the Vilna Gaon. And he asked Reb Chaim Volozhin whether Reb Chaim Volozhin thought it was a good idea to write the Maaser Rav, number one. Number two, he asked him to, you know, go through his manuscript. Before he prints it, he wants to ask him, do you have any edits, any ha'aras? Is there anything that I got wrong? So he talks about it. So one of the things he says is that, he says, I didn't find anything to be inaccurate. Meaning, there's nothing you wrote that I found to be inaccurate, although you did mention things that I never saw, but just because I didn't see it doesn't mean it never happened. But, you know, in terms of the accuracy of the things that I am familiar with, I didn't see any inaccuracies with the exception of two. Two diktukim. The one that's of note is that in the Maaser Rav, they bring that the Vilna Gaon by Parsha Zohar was makbet to say Timcha Ezecher Amalek. Zecher. Not Zecher Amalek, but Timcha as Zecher. This is what he writes. Vasher Kosav Likri, the Parsha Zocher, Zecher, Beshesh Nekudos, right? Six Pintalach, two segals. Anisha Mati Mipek Kodosh, I heard the Vilna Goyim read Parsha Zocher, Shekorah Bechomish Nekudos. He didn't say Zecher with five, six Pintalach. He said Zecher. Two and three with five. For lo yodati, he says, I'm not sure. Mashayim shamu v'to leimah b'cheish nekudos. If this that you have that people said they heard the Vilna Gaon say six, maybe they made a mistake because I'm telling you I heard zecher. Or ulai b'ziknusay chazabai. Or it could be later in life the Vilna Gaon was chayzer. Yachken olamay b'zal la'emes. He says, I'm just telling you, heads up, you should look into it a little bit deeper because at first glance, what you wrote doesn't stem with what I observe. So that's the only real horror that he has. But in the beginning, listen to what he says. He says that the truth is, there's already precedence for someone to sit down and write likutim about a tzaddik yisoid oilam so that people should be able to learn from his hanagas. Kichein nispashtu v'nitvesu hanagas maril. Says, there's a likutei maril. And the likutei maril is to the maril what the maisirav is to the Vilna Gaon. It's the same concept. And then listen to Reb Chaim Volozhin writes b'lashonei hazav. This is in his haskama, in his approbation to the maisirav. Kichei nispashtu v'nitvesu hanagas maril al yidei shamish katon sheshim v'shoesai. So I don't know what he means, shamish katan. It means he was younger than bar mitzvah. He means he was just katan spiritually. Probably doesn't mean that he was short. So what does it mean, al yidei shamish katan? So it's interesting that Reb Chaim Volozhin would say that. So it says, the Margolis Sayam, you know what he means? He means what Reb Yosef Engel said. He said, because there are things in the Likutei Maril that are inaccurate. And because there are things that are inaccurate, it's clear that whoever wrote it was a shamish katan. To say that the Maril held that the Gedder and Asmacht is a regular Dinde Rabbanan, and the Rabbanan made believe it was a Dinde Raisa, they lied, they made believe it was the Raisa to fool people? You're fooling them, so they should think it's really more chama than it is. It says, Kubitz even Bal Taisev, that's not a Pashto thing at all. That's what Chaim Volozhin meant. It was written al yidei shamish katan. Why is this interesting? Because we just spoke out a fascinating idea from the Likutei Maril. And that is the Likutei Maril. It says, the Rabbeinu Tam used to learn a shver sugya. He would bring a tail shell. So when somebody told me he researched it, that Rabbeinu Tam was Torah v'gdula b'makam echad. He was also a big gevir. So he would bring a tail shell zehuvim. He would put it on his desk because it made him feel better. He felt good when he saw his wealth. And that's how he was able to learn his shver sugya. Very big kiddush. It comes from the Likutei Maril. But now we're questioning the authenticity of the Likutei Maril. We're questioning who exactly this author was. Reb Chaim Volozhin seems to refer to him as a shamish katan. Reb Yosef Engel says that he clearly made mistakes. So you have to know, or be careful at least before you say that over. Regardless, on that note, Hadron Aloch, Perek Koyen Gadol, and we begin one of the most festive prokem in Shas, Perek Zeh Boirer. Mishnah, not as hard as some of the other festa, brachim, and shas that we've learned over the last few years. So we return to the first halacha of the first Mishnah of the Masechta, and that is Dine Mominus Beshleisha. So just in case you want to have a big picture recap. So the first Mishnah took us through the first Amid. It was a very long Mishnah. What type of dinim require? Three dayanim, when you need five, seven maybe, 23, 71. And then we had a whole perek that discussed in somewhat detail what the makairis are. How do you know that egla rufa requires X amount of dinim? Dinim nefashis requires this. And all the different halachas, Navi Sheker and Kohen Gadol. We mentioned Kohen Gadol requiring a bezin shel ayin aleph. So we digress, we had a whole perek Kohen Gadol, and now we return. We go away from our digression and we return to the very first halacha. We're going to analyze it now. The very first halacha of Dinei Mominus Beshleisha. So, Bezdin of Dinei Mominus was made up of three dayanim. Says the Mishnah, Zeh Boir Lo Yechod, Vzeh Boir Lo Yechod, Vshneim Boir Lam Oid Echad. So we'll see what this means in the Gemara. Divrei Amit. The Chachamim say, Shnei Dayanim Boirin Lohem Oid Echad. Again, we'll see in the Gemara. Zeh Poisel Dayanim Shal Zeh, Vzeh Poisel Dayanim Shal Zeh, Divrei Rameir. Rameir says that if one of the two Bali Dinim has a dayan that he wants should preside over this court case that he has with his this other person, so if one of the Balidinim wanted to disqualify him, they could. You can't just go and frivolously pass for somebody else's dying. If you have a raya that he's a carver or apostle, then you can do it. If somebody comes to Bezdin and he has Eidim, the other person could say, that Eid is apostle. You can't just recklessly pass for somebody's Eid. And we will go through this entire Mishnah in very great detail. Everything will make sense, hopefully, by the end of the daf. Zok de Gemara. So the first halacha of the Mishnah was, Dine Mominus Bishleisha, how do you come to three? Ze Boir Lo Yechod, Ze Boir Lo Yechod, the Shneem Boir Lim Oidechod, Divi Rameir, the Chachomim said, Shne Dayonim Boir Lim Oidechod. My Ze Boir Lo Yechod, Ze Boir Lo Yechod. Bitlos Osagi. So the way the Gemara in the Havamino understands the Mishnah is Ze Boir Lo Yechod means that if you have two Balidinim, Ruven and Shimon, there's a court case. Incidentally, what did the Gemara say right at the beginning of the Masechta is the definition of Dine Mominus? Hoidois Valvois. Right? Dine Mominus doesn't mean all Dine Mominus, because a lot of the other Dine Mominus were mentioned explicitly in the Mishnah, Xelus Vechavolois, etc. So what did Dine Mominus mean? It means Hoidois Valvois. So let's pick Valvois. That's the easier case. Ruven loaned money to Shimon, and now there's a dispute. So a Bezdin's going to have to preside over the dispute. How many Dayanim is this Bezdin going to be made up of? Three. That was the first halacha of the Mishnah. But what does our Mishnah seem to be saying? Ze Boir Lo Yechod. The Malva picks a Bezdin. What's the definition of a Bezdin? Three. Ve'ze Boir Lo Yechod. And the Loiva picks a Bezdin. And then we figure out how you pick the third Bezdin. Rameyu says the two together, the Malva and the Loiva, together pick the third Bezdin. The Chachamim said the two Bateidinim together pick the third Bezdin. But the Gemara's cash is, what do you need nine Dayanim for? If the way you understand Zeh Bar Le'echad means a Bezdin, Vizeh Bar Le'echad means a Bezdin, Vishneh Bar Le'echad is a third Bezdin, Betlos Sagi, you don't need nine, three should be enough. So the Gemara says, Hochi Kamar. This is the way you have to read the Mishnah. Kishe Zeh Boir Lo Yechad, not Zeh Boir Lo Yechad, but rather, Kishe Zeh Boir Lo Yechad, Vizeh Boir Lo Bezdin Echad, Shneim Boir Lo Moed Echad. What it means is that if the Malva picked the Bezdin and the Leiva says, I don't want to go to your Bezdin, he has a right to do that. And then if the Leiva picks the Bezdin and the Malva tells the Leiva, I don't want to go to your Bezdin, the Malva has a right to do that as well. Until they finally get together and they agree to pick a Bezdin. And so really, you don't need nine. What you need is three. And it's not Zeh Boir Lo. You pick, we'll pick together, and like this, we'll have them. There's no reason for that. All you need is three. It's Kishaza. If one of the Balidin of the Malva picks a Bezdin and the Leiva knocks it down, then it's knocked down. Then you keep on going. And if the Leiva picks and the Malva knocks it down, you keep on going. Until finally, we could agree. How do you finally agree? According to Rav Meir, they two Balidin and the Malva and the Leiva have to get together. They have to agree. Shneihem Boirlem. And according to the Chachamim, the Dayanim themselves are the ones that pick the third Bezdin. We'll discuss that. But the point is, it's not Likatchilo that you need nine. Likatchilo you need three. Why then is the Mishnah seem to be saying that a classic Dine Mominus is you're going to end up with nine Dayanim? It's just in the event that one of the Balidinim are not comfortable with the Bezdin that the other Balidin wants. So Kish is it. If one picks it and he doesn't like it, and the other one picks it and he doesn't like it, the point of the Mishnah is just to say that everyone has to be in agreement. You can't force someone to go to a Bezdin that he's not comfortable going to. At the end of the day, there has to be some kind of agreement. Who's going to make the agreement? Either the Balidinim are going to agree or the Dayanim are going to agree, but there has to be some mutual consent in order to go ahead and paskin dine mamon. It says the Gemara, but if that's the case, it sounds like va'afilu loiva matzimaket. It sounds like each baldin has a right to say that I don't want to go to your bezin. Kishazeb bayer loy, vezeb bayer loy. Each one can refuse. Meaning, in the case of halvois, say the malva could say I don't want to go to the loiva's bezin, and say the loiva could say that I don't want to go to the malva's bezin. Now, the fact that the malva doesn't have to go to the loiva's bezin, that makes a lot of sense. But the Gemara says that the loiva should have a right to tell the malva I don't want to go to the malva's bezin. From Rabbi Loza said loy shanuela malva alva loiva koifen oisay v'dam beiroy. In the context is a Gemara later, and it's a very similar context. They're discussing over there with the Malva and the Leiva trying to figure out which Bezdin to go to, and the Malva tells the Leiva that I want to go to a Bezdin in a different city, or the Leiva tells the Malva I want to go to a Bezdin in a different city. So there are times we have a a right to do that. At times we don't have a right to do that. But the point is, what the Gemara says is that the Levin never has a right to say that I want to go to another city. And the reason the Levin never has a right to say that I want to go to another city is because Eved Loiva Leishmalfa. So he's not considered someone that has real rights in this discussion. He's the Loiva, he's Yodei Ala Tachtoino, Eved Loiva Leishmalfa. So the Gemara's kasha is that just like the Loiva is Koifen Oisei Vedan Be'ira, he doesn't have a right to tell the Malva, I want to go to a Bezdin in another city, then how come in our Mishnah does the Loiva have a right to knock out the Malva's Bezdin? Now you can ask me, what Chaiches? Knocking out the Malva's Bezdin doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to go to another city. What Rabbi Loza said was, Loiva Koifa Noisei V'Don Be'ira. He's being very specific. He wants to go to another city. Where in our Mishnah do you see that he can go to another? So the Rishonim explained, because back in the day, not every city had more than one Bezdin. Usually a city had one Bezdin. So if a city had one Bezdin, and you're telling me now that I can knock out your Bezdin, then by definition, I'm taking you to another city. Rabbi Loza already said, Loiva Koifa Noisei V'Don Be'ira. Because Eved Loiva lives. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yechanan bar Koisha b'sur Yeshanu. Rabbi Yechanan said to answer another kasha, unrelated to this Gemara, that even though it sounds at first glance like the sugi is talking about regular dayanim, really it's not talking about regular dayanim. It's talking about one of their kois in Syria. Hachanami bar kois shebesurya shanu. In other words, what the Gemara is saying is that enachinami, if we were dealing with a regular bezdin, the leiva would have no right to tell the malva, I don't want to go to your bezdin. Because the Leiva doesn't have a right to shlap the Malva to another city. That's a Gemara later. Eved Leiva l'shmalva. He can't do it. So he wouldn't be able to tell the Malva that I don't want to go to your Bezdin. Hacha b'maya skinon, where the Malva did not pick a regular, ordinary Bezdin. He didn't pick a Bezdin of Dayana Mumchen. He picked a Bezdin that was like the courthouses in Syria. Now, the courthouses in Syria apparently were Jewish courthouses, but at the same time, they didn't really follow Dinei Torah. So, being that they didn't really follow Dinei Torah, so over there, the Loiva would have a right to say that I'm not comfortable going to Erkoy Sheva Surya. I feel I'll be Dinei Torah, I'll be Chesha Mishpat, I have a good case over here. So, I want to go to a Bezdin that I'm confident is going to follow Mishpatei Torah. You want to take me to the Erkoy Sheva Surya? I'm not comfortable going to the Erkoy Sheva Surya. So, to tell the Malva that I don't want to go to a regular Bezdin of the Yonamunku, that's something he doesn't have a right to do. That's what Rabbi Loza said, that ever loiva l'shmalva loiva koifa noisei v'don be'ira. This, that in our Mishnah, the way the Gemara is understanding it right now, which is the Malva can tell the Leiva, I don't want to go to your Bezdin. The Leiva can tell the Malva, I don't want to go to your Bezdin. Isn't the Leiva telling the Malva, I don't want to go to your Bezdin, essentially the Leiva telling the Malva, I want to go to another city? Because there's one Bezdin in the city. And I thought the Leiva can never tell the Malva, I want to go to another city. The Teretz is, it's true, the Leiva can't tell the Malva, I want to go to another city, if the Bezdin that the Malva picked is a regular upstanding Bezdin. But if the Bezdin that he picked is similar to the Arkoy Sheva Surya, then he does have a right. But the Gemara says, Rapapa said a different teretz. Afilu tema mumchin, could be our Mishnah is not talking about where the Malva picked Arkoy Sheva Surya. And it's not only for that reason that the Leiva has a right to tell him, I don't want to go to your Bezdin, but it could be our Mishnah is talking about Kigoyin, Beidina, the Rav Huna, the Rav Chizda. A Bezdin such as Rav Huna's Bezdin and Rav Chizda's Bezdin. Rashi says, what was unique about their Bezdin? What was unique was is that it was B'mokam Echa. The two Batidinim were in the same city. They were in close proximity to each other. The Karmalei. In that case, the Leiva could certainly tell the Malva, Miko Matrachnalan. It's true there's a sugya later where the Leiva cannot force the Malva. That's to go to another city. The Gemara assumed one Bezdin per city. So if the Leiva is telling the Malva, I don't want to go to your Bezdin, he's probably telling him, I want to go to another city. The Leiva doesn't have a right to do that. Says the Gemara, no. We're talking about with the two, but they did and we're in the same city. So the Malva wants to go to Rav Huna's Bezdin, and the Leiva says, I don't want to go to Rav Huna's Bezdin, I want to go to Rav Chizda's Bezdin, or something of that nature. Kigoyin Beidina, the Rav Huna, the Rav Chizda. In that case, he's not being matriachim. There's no reason the Leiva should not have a vote. Either way, so the Gemara's initial understanding of the first halacha of the Mishnah. Zabar le'echad. What does echad mean? One bezdin. The Malva picks the bezdin, the Leiva picks the bezdin, then we figure out how to get the third bezdin. Gemara's kasha, what do you need three batidinim for? You don't need three times three, which is nine dayanim, all you need is three dayanim. So Gemara says, right. Don't read the Mishnah zeh v'zeh, but rather kishazeh. Kishazeh, bar le'echad, v'zeh, bar le'echad, shneim. And the punchline then of the Mishnah is that each person has a right to knock out the other person's bezdin. Now let's take a closer look at our Mishnah. Chachamim said, shnei dayanim, bar le'moidechad. Rameir said, how do you pick the third bezdin? The Malva, the Leiva have to agree. The Chachamim said, how do you pick the third bezdin? The two sets of Dayanim are the ones that pick the third bezdin. But if Pshat in the Mishnah is the way we're reading it now, which is that we're talking about bati dinim that were knocked out, the Malvis is not comfortable with the Leivis Bezdin. The Leivis is not comfortable with the Malvis Bezdin. So Bezdin, Basa, the Paslu, Azu, Baradu, Bedin, Achrin, how do you understand the Chamashita? Why would these two Bati Dinim that were just disqualified be the ones that picked the third Bezdin? It just doesn't make any sense. How do you understand the Pashat Havana in such a halacha? That after the Malva tells the Leiva, I don't like your, I think your Bezdin's on your payroll. I'm not comfortable with that. And the Leiva tells the Malva the same exact thing. So who should pick the third Bezdin? The two suspect Bati Dinim, they should be the ones that pick the third Bezdin. But additionally, read the Mishnah. The Mishnah doesn't say Kish Zeh Bayir LeYachad V'Zeh Bayir LeYachad. What does the Mishnah say? The Mishnah says Zeh Bayir LeYachad V'Zeh Bayir LeYachad. Ella says the Gemara Hachikam. You need the Bach here. Zeh Bayir LeDayin Echad V'Zeh Bayir LeDayin Echad. What does the Mishnah mean? The Mishnah doesn't mean you pick a Bezdin, I don't like it, and I'll pick a bezin. You don't like it, we'll pick a third bezin. No, no, no. We're talking about DNA mamidus b'shloisha. A bezin was made up of three dayanim. How do you get the three dayanim? Where did the three dayanim come from? You know what the answer is? You know where the three dayanim came from? The malva picks one dayan, the loiva picks a second dayan, and then there's a machlokes. Ramei and the chacham. Now you pick the third dayan. According to Ramei, how do you pick the third dayan? The two bali dinim together, the malva and the loiva pick the third dayan. According to the chacham, the two dayanim themselves pick the third dayan. Says the Gemara, Maishan of the Hachi. What's the point of doing it this way? Amri ben Marava, Mishmei de Rav Zera, Mitoch Shezeh Bayer Loi Dayan Echad, Vezeh Bayer Loi Dayan Echad. If each person is going to pick a dayan, the Shnei and Bayer Lomay Dachad, and the two together, or the two dayanim are going to pick the third dayan, Yetze Hadin La Mita. By doing that, we're pretty comfortable that we're going to end up coming up with the real din. What? What's the point? Rashi says, and what if one person picks all three dayanim, then we're chayshid that maybe you're not going to have the right din? Says Rashi, it doesn't mean there's a better chance of getting it right this way. But what it means is that tzaisei bali dinim, the chances of being able to enforce it are much better. Everyone's going to walk away with a good feeling because, says Rashi, the Sover HaChayiv, it's good to see the Rashi inside, and Hare Ani Ba'atzmi Birarti Yo'echot, V'm Hoyo Yochel Ahapich Beschusi, Hoyo Mehapich, V'adayonim Ba'atzma Noiche Daiton Lahapich Beschus Shneim, V'pnei Sheshneim Birum. So says Rashi, you know why this is a good idea? Because like this, no Baldin is going to walk out of court and saying, ah, you know why I lost? Because this Bezdin has some sort of relationship with the other guy, and that's why I ended up losing it. No, no, no. You picked the dayan, and he picked the dayan, and together we picked the third dayan, or the two dayanim picked the third dayan. And like this, everyone's going to feel good about it. So yetzia din lamita in the sense that it'll be A, more enforceable, and B, people, they're going to be more comfortable. That's a good thing. You want everybody to walk out of bezin feeling good. You want people to feel like the right halacha was said. So lahoitzi miliban shal tzedaykin, this was the right way of doing it. But if you look at Rashi, Rashi's a little bit misleading. Rashi says that if each bal din picks a dayan, he's going to have a good feeling. The Sovar, Hare Ani Ba'atzmi Birarti Yo'echot. I picked my Dayan. V'mhoye Yochel Ahapich B'schusi Hayim Ahapich. And if there was something positive that he could have came up with to help my case, he probably would have came up with it. It sounds almost as if each Dayan is representing one of the two Balidina. So the Malva picks a Dayan, and his job is to look out for the Malva. And then the Loiva picks a Dayan, and his job is to look out for the loiva, and then together, I mean, it sounds like corruption 101. That's not the way it's supposed to be. Each dayan is supposed to do the same thing. They're supposed to try to be mechaven to the emes. They're supposed to come up with the real pshat. If you take a look at the Rosh right here, it's in Siman Beis, says the Rosh. I'll just read to you the beginning. B'pnei sheyesh chaserei das. I've seen people that are literally lacking common sense. Tell you the different Rashi. They read this Rashi and they made a mistake. The made the menu, they took out a Rashi even more than what we just said. Shahadayin Yeshloy Lahapech Peschus Oisai Shabire Vaime bin Koime Lahapis Bidbar Mashlikadin. That each Dayan has a job to represent one of the Balidinim. I work for you, you work for him, and then there's somebody who works for both of us. Says the Rosh Chas V'Shalom to think that that's not what Rashi meant to say. It is a little misleading, but it's not what Rashi meant to say. Rashi just meant to say that people are going to think that we're addressing Liban Shal Tzedekin. But of course, that's not Chalila the way it's supposed to work. Either way, it's up to Gemara B'Selvayt. Name of the Rabbi Damarav Komifligi. So we have here in Machlokes how you pick the third dayan. So we just established what Pshat in the Mishnah is. Zeh Bar Le'echad means the Malva picks one dayan. Zeh Bar Le'echad means the Loiva picks a second dayan. Vishneim Boyer and Lehem Oidechad means together the Malva and the Loiva picked the third dayan. Divi Rameir, the Chachamim said the two dayanim picked the third dayan. Says the Gemara, Nebid Rabbi Damarav, Kamifel Gidam Rabbi Damarav, Ein Eidim Chais Malashtar, Elim Ken Yoidim, Mi Chaisem Imahem.
Rav Yehuda Merav said that an aide is not supposed to sign on a shtar unless he knows who else is signing with him. And if that's the case, then we should apply that to being a dayan as well. That a person shouldn't be a dayan unless he knows who the other dayanim are. So Rav Meir, who said that the two Balei Dinim get to pick the third dayan, meaning the dayan himself doesn't pick the third dayan, less like Rav Yehuda Merav. He didn't hold like Rav Yehuda Merav. He didn't think it's a big deal to be a aide on a shtar if you don't know who the aidim are. And it's not a big deal to be a dayan in a court case if you don't know who the other dayanim are. V'rabbanan, this is Rav Yehuda Merav, and the Rabbanan who said that no, you need the dayanim to pick the third dayan because there's an idea of not to be a dayan unless you know who the other dayanim are. But the Gemara says like, Kuliyama, this is Rav Yehuda Merav. It could be everybody holds like Rav Yehuda Merav. V'dasa dayanim, Kuliyama, le'pligi debinan. Everybody agrees that you really need the dasa dayanim. Ki pligi, what's the machloik is das bali dinim. Do you also need the das of the bali dinim? Rameir, Sava Rameir holds das bali dinim nami binim. You also need the das of the bali dinim. And that's why Rameir said the shneim boirin lemoidecha. That it's true that the dayanim have to agree, like you chachamim say. I'm just adding to what you said. Not only did the dayanim have to be okay with the third dayan, because there's an idea of ein edim chosmin al ashtar elam ken yoidim yichosim iman, and a dayan shouldn't be a dayan in a bezdin unless he knows who the other fellow dayanim are. But in addition to that, das balei dinim you also need. Rabbanan savi, the Rabbanan hold das dayanim beinam. You need the das dayanim, das balei dinim loy beinam. So before we wrap up this Gemara, just again, we said that we'd go back to the Mishnah. We didn't touch the Mishnah when we read it. We said we'd go back to explain it. So now we understand the Mishnah. Let's read the Mishnah again. Dinei mominus b'shloisha. The first halach of the Masechta was dinei mominus b'shloisha. What's dinei mominus b'zeidois talvois? What's the? How do you come to three dayanim? How do you make up the bezdin? Zeh baru leyachad. The malva picks one dayan. Vezeh baru leyachad. And the loiva picks one dayan. So far, everyone's in agreement. Vishneim baru leyachad. Says Rameh. The two dayanim, even though it's not mafurish in the Mishnah, have to agree. They have to be comfortable who the third dayan is. But in addition to that, shnehem bayerlem oidachot. The two balei din and the malam of the leva also have to be in agreement with who the third dayan is. The chachamim say shnei dayanim bayerlem oidachot. You don't need the two balei din to be comfortable with who the third dayan is. Once each one of the balei din pick a dayan, they can go home. They can wait until they have a trial date set. They're done. Who picks the third dayan? That the dayanim deal amongst themselves. They're the ones, they pick the third dayan. Gufa, Amar Rabbi Yudam Arav. So we just mentioned the halacha, Ein Edom Chesman al Ashtar, that there was some sort of minhag that Edom would not sign on Ashtar unless they knew who else was signed on the Ashtar. Tanya Nami Hachi, Kach, Hoyu, Nikiye, Hadashab, Yerushalayim, Oisim. This was the custom of this elite group of people, called the Nekiye Hadas Sheb Yerushalayim. They wouldn't sign on a shtar unless they knew who the other signatures on the shtar were. They wouldn't sit. They wouldn't be on a bezdin unless they knew who the other dayanim were. They wouldn't enter a suda. They wouldn't even break bread if they didn't know who one of the participants in the suda were. So the Gemara says that this that was mentioned by Rabbi Yehuda Merav was really the minig of the Nekiye Hadash of Yerushalayim. So they wouldn't sign on a shtar unless they knew who the other edim were. They wouldn't be a dayan on a bezdin unless they knew who the other dayanim were. And they wouldn't even break bread with people that they weren't comfortable with. What was the reason for this? Says Rashi, the reason is because if they don't know who the other person was, embarrassment may come about from this whole thing. You sign your name on a shtar. Three other people signed. You don't know who those other three people are. Later, you find out that one of those people were psulim, kravim, psulim, gazlanim, rishayim, whatever. And as a result, the shtar now became possible. A rumor is going to spread that this shtar became possible. You know why it became possible? Because the edim were possible. I'm an aide. Now I'm a kosher. It's the other person that's apostle. I'm going to be embarrassed. It's going to reflect poorly on me. It's going to look like maybe I was the one that was apostle. So the Nekiya Dasha of Yerushalayim, they were careful. They wouldn't get involved in something that may one day lead them to a place where they can end up being embarrassed. The same thing was regarding Dayanim, and the same thing was regarding a Suda. They would not sit down at a Suda unless they knew exactly who they were sitting with. I saw the Shar Mitzion Balocha brings from the Divrei Chaim. The Tzanzarov, he said that it could be if they knew the person that was sitting with was an Am Aretz, maybe they'd be okay sitting with him. Because at least they know the guy's an Am Aretz. It was when they didn't know who he was. So He looks maybe like a shiny Eid, really as a buck amuritz, but they don't really know who he is. And being they don't know who he is, that's the person that can get you into trouble. So when you don't know who a person, if you know who he is, you know to be careful from him. You know not to engage him in conversation, you know not to tell him certain things. But if the problem is, where they don't know who they're sitting with, that's when it was a problem. But either way, a fascinating idea, that when a kid hadas shabirusha lion, that were extremely careful before they sat down with people. So I'll tell you something somebody told me on Shabbos. And that is that, you know, we know the story of Kamsa Bar Kamsa. It was just very much in Yonah D'Yoma. And the story of Kamsa Ubar Kamsa, there's a Yid, seems like some VIP. He makes some big Shisa event. Kamsa was supposed to be invited. Accidentally, Bar Kamsa was the one that showed up. He did not want Bar Kamsa there for all the money in the world. He ends up embarrassing Bar Kamsa. The Rabbanu was sitting there. Rabbanu didn't say anything. And this Bar Kamsa walks out. He says, I don't understand the fact that this guy, the host, okay. But the Rabbanu were there. But like Michal Bei Rabbanu, they were okay with it. I don't understand. If the Rabbanu were okay with it, it must be they're fine with this. And that's what, it just infuriated him to the point that he went to the Romans. He said, Mardukhab Yudai. And this resulted in Churban Beis HaMikdash. The Marsha speaks that in Chedushi HaGodes, that of course, I mean, he doesn't say it like this, but I think it's common sense that even without the story of Kamsa Bar Kamsa, the Beis HaMikdash, unfortunately, still would have been Chara. But really what the Chachamim are telling us is that if you want to understand the circumstances that led to Churban Beis HaMikdash, take the story of Kamsa Bar Kamsa, HaFeichba VaHaFeichba DeKulaba, analyze it as much as possible, because in this story is the microcosm of what ultimately resulted in, like Rabbi Yochanan said, "An v'sunusha yishuv schayi ben afkilos." There's so much you can take from here. Says the Marsha that this that you find the Rabbanim were there and they let this host just get away with embarrassing Bar Kamsa, didn't say anything. It's because the midah of chanufa, which is something that we're going to learn about in tomorrow's daf, the midah of chanufa was pervasive in that generation. There were a lot of chanfonim in that dar, and they were chanfoning this person. Really, what they were supposed to do is they should have stood up against them, but they didn't. They were intimidated by him. Maybe he was a big don't. Whatever the point is, they did not want to stand up to him. And he says, it's a Gemara really in Saitan Amalaf Amidez, where the Gemara says that right around Surka, Churban Bayesheni, you find the Midah of Chanifa was horrible. The Gemara says, Agrifas HaMelech was once reading from the Sefer Torah by Hakel right before the Churban, and he came to a pasuk that says that in order to be a Melech Yisrael, you have to be a full-fledged Yid. And Agrifas HaMelech came from Hurdis, he came from Kashanable. There's some Achlikas Rashi Tosis there, what exactly his Zichas was. But he certainly wasn't fit to be Melech. I mean that he wasn't fit to be Melech, he started crying. Zog wave of mice. And the Chachamim with it, they told him, Agrifas, don't worry about it. You're one of us. You're one of our brothers. Achenuata. And the Gemara said that the Chachamim there were over on the Issachan. What do you mean? Achenu, you know, he wasn't a brother. He really was not fit to be king. Why they tell it to him? Because he was the king. So imagine you're the king. You know, you want to be in his good side. You want to tell something nice. So that's what they told him. And Tosis over there quotes in Yerushalmi that on that day people died. It was one of the worst days in Jewish history. So you see that there was the midah of Chanufa that was very, very prevalent in that dar. Says the Marsha, it's the same exact concept. You see that these Chachamim, they're chanfonim and they're chanfoning this house. But somebody told me something interesting. That the truth is, if you think about it, it could be the Rabbanu shouldn't have even been at that party. Because it doesn't sound like this host was a good guy. It sounds like he was a very bad guy. It sounds like he was a questionable person. And yesh la'ayin whether he even should have been there in the first place. And the truth is, if they were not there in the first place, this story never goes down. Again, because if they're not there, then Bar Kamsa doesn't see the Rabbanu being quiet. And if he doesn't see them being quiet, he doesn't feel like the Rabbanu are okay with it. The fact that this Shagitz feels it's okay, that's one thing. That wasn't his issue. His issue was that the Rabbanu were there. V'loy Michal. So maybe had they followed the minute of the Nekiyah Hadasha of Yerushalayim, that loy hayu nechnasim besuda elam ken yoydim imesiv yimah, maybe based on the Churban Beis HaMikdash is prevented. The point is, it's not so posh. Either way, Zok de Gemara Veiter said, we went through the first halacha of the Mishnah, now the second halacha of the Mishnah. Second halacha of the Mishnah was, Zeh Poysel Dayanei Shazeh, Vzeh Poysel Dayanei Shazeh. So we just explained the first idea of Zeh Boyer Lech, Vzeh Boyer Lech. The Malva picks a dayan, the Loiva picks a dayan, and then somehow together we're going to figure out a way to come up with the third dayan. Zeh Poysel Dayanei Shazeh, Vzeh Poysel Dayanei Shazeh. What does it sound like? It sounds like the Loiva could say that your dayan is possible, and the Malva could say your dayan is possible. Faith, the Gemara Kol committed the possible dayani. Does that make sense? You could just recklessly go and possible dayanim. Amr Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan said, "Bar kois shebesur yoshanu." We're not talking about ordinary dayanim. Same like we said earlier. If we're talking about earlier regular dayanim mumchin, you can't just go and disqualify a dayan mumcha. But rather, we're talking about Arkoisha Besurya. These were judges that were Yidden, but they didn't follow Dinei Torah. Being that they didn't follow Dinei Torah, they have a right to go and say that I think your diet might be possible. Abba Mumchin says the Gemara, look, Amid Diktani Seifa. What did the Seifa say? The Chachamim Moim and the Chachamim argued, right? The Chachamim said that you can't just go and frivolously passel someone else's dying. When can you passel? If you're making a raya that he's a carver or apostle, then you could. But if he was a kosher or if he was a mumcha, then what was the halacha? In that case, you don't have a right to passel. Says the Gemara, Michal Rameyer, mumcha nami kamar. It sounds like Rameyer is okay with a mumcha, because if he's not a kosher or a mumcha, even the Rabbanan Amoy that you could passel. When are they arguing if he's a kosher or if he's a mumcha? According to a mayor, Zeb Paisel Dayanish, Zeb Paisel Dayanish, Zeb. According to the Chachamim, you can't. So what do you see then? They're arguing by kosher and mumcha, so even by mumcha. So how could you tell me that Rabbi Yochanan said Bar Koish HaBesur Yeshanu, that when Rabbi Meir said Zeb Paisel Dayanish, Zeb, it means only if it was our Koish HaBesur Yeh. From the Mishnah, it's very mashma that they're arguing by ksherim or mumchim. The Gemara says, no, hachi kamar. Avalam hayu ksherim nasu ke mumchim ibi bezven yachal ofles. By mumchim, everybody agrees he can't pass. And if they're real craving upsulim, everybody agrees, you could pass. They're arguing where he was a kosher, but he wasn't a mumcha. Such as, he's a dayan, as far as we know he's kosher, he sits on their koisha besurya. Again, he's a kosher, but he's not a mumcha. According to Rameyer, Zeh poisel. According to the Chachamim, he can't poisel. What did the Chachamim mean when they threw in the word mumcha? What they meant to say was, at umhoyuk sheirim, not oy mumchim, avul umhoyuk sheirim, nasu kim mumchim. They told Rameyer, "Loi kol hemnu shepoisel dayin shemumchel rab a brisa." Where Rameyer and the Chachamim are talking, so the Chachamim told Rameyer, "You think it's just a hefkevelt? You can go ahead and you can passel a dayin that's a mumcha." Said, "What does it sound like from there?" The Rameyer holds, "You could passel a dayin that's a mumcha." So the Gemara emba loi kol hemnu shepoisel dayin shemchu rab malim. A little bit of a teichik, not mumcha, but really in the verb. Himchu, a dayan that people took upon themselves to be a dayan, as long as he's kosher, even if he's not a mumcha, loy kol hemnu, you don't have a right to go ahead and passel him. Tanya nami hachi loylam poysel v'hoylech achi kabel olav bezin shem mumcha l'rabim divi rameyer. In fact, there's a brisa mefurish like Rabbi Yochanan. The brisa said that according to Rameyer, you could always passel dayan shalzeh unless achi kabel olav bezin. Once he's a mumcha, at that point, you don't have a right anymore to passel him. So when Rameyer says that poisel dayan shalzeh, what does he mean? He means arkoisha besurya, where the dayan was kosher, but he wasn't a mumcha. Because if he would be a mumcha, you would not have a right to do it. Frank the Gemara Akash. The same exact machloikis that we had in the Mishnah regarding the malva passeling one of the dayanim, or the leiva passing one of the dayanim, we had regarding the edim, the third case in the Mishnah. Zeh poisel edov shalzeh, v'zeh poisel edov shalzeh, divi rameir, v'chachamim oimrim, emasai bezman shem evi aleim rayash and krevim oipsu, avlam hayuk sherim, eni yachad lefoisim. Says the Gemara, when you talk about edim, there's no concept of a kosher and a mumcha. All edim that are kosher are the equivalent thereof of mumchen. There's no such thing as I'm an aid, kosher, but I'm not a mumcha. When you're dealing with dayanim, there's different levels. So you could be a dayan kosher. I'm kosher to sit on erkoisha besurya, but I'm not a mumcha. I can't pass kindine knosses. I can't enforce malchus. There's a concept of a kosher and a mumcha. But an aid, either you're kosher or you're pasul. Sfreik the Gemara, va'edim kemumchim dami, an aid kosher, who's the equivalent of a dayan mumcha. Va'amir Rameir, Rameir says that poisul aid of shazev, zev poisul aid of shazev. So if Rameir holds that you can pasul an aid kosher, that means l'chura, you can passel a dayan mumcha. So that when a mayor says that poisel yon shazay meant even a mumcha, it's a kasha on Rabbi Yochanan, really it's a kasha on this tanya nami hachi. Zok de Gemara, you're right. If you would take the Mishnah at face value, you'd have an excellent point. But our itmar Allah amir Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish said, pek kodesh yoy medover zeh. Is it possible that a mayor who is a pek kodesh would have said something like this? Think about it for a second. The Malvik walks into Bezan, and I have two Edom that say that I loan Shimon money. Shimon, the Leiva, says, nah, you're dying as possible. Your aid is possible. I don't trust him. What do you mean? You have a Raya that he's a Russian? No. You know he's a Karev? No. But I don't like him. I'm not comfortable with him. It'd be the Wild West. That's Anarchy 101. So there's no way in the world you could go ahead and do something like that. So Reish Lakish said, Pek Kodesh Rameyer would have said something like that. So what then did Rameyer mean? Tni Edoi. Change the gersa. Not poisel edov shalzeh, but rather a doishal zeh. How does that help us? Let's see. Lemamin. Does it mean lemamin? Meaning this is a case of hoidois valvois. And in the context of Mominus, the Malva brought an Eid Echad, one Eid that proves, that saw, that witnessed the fact that he loaned the Loiva money. And now the Loiva says, I don't trust your Eid Echad, I want to passel him. Rachman apostle, you don't need the Loiva to passel him. Eid Echad anyways doesn't work. Al Pishnai made him Yakum Davar. Yeah, anyways, to Eilah Shvua, maybe what we're talking about is not that the Eid Echad is coming to be Mechayev Mammon, but the Eid Echad is coming to be Mechayev Shua. You know, one of the three people that swear Shvua Dei Raisa is Shvua Eid Echad. So if Ruben goes up to Shimon and he says, you owe me $100, and he has two Eidim, he owes him $100. If he has an Eid Echad, he doesn't owe him $100. But at the same time, he does have to swish for the raisa that he doesn't owe him $100. So maybe that's the case. The case is where the malva came with an eid echad, and he doesn't want to be mechayev him mamon because he can't. He just wants to be mechayev him shvua, and that's where our mayor said that personal eidim shalzeh. But the Gemara says, are you accomplishing anything? Because Eilah Shvua Hemunei Mehemin Kibei Trei, the Eid Echad is believed like two Eidim. So what exactly did Rish Lakish gain by saying Tini Eidai Zakti Gemara LaElam the Mum? Really, we're talking about Mum, meaning the Malva came with an Eid Echad. And the Malva has an Eid Echad that says that he loaned the money. And ordinarily, an Eid Echad is not going to be believed. But the case is where the Malva and the Leiva agreed that if this Eid Echad walks into Bezdin, or if any Eid Echad walks into Bezdin, we're going to accept the Eid Echad as if he's two Eidim. And now, the Leiva has remorse. He wants to back out. And he's poisel Eid of Shalzeh. Now he's being poisel Eid of Shalzeh. He's telling him that I know I agreed originally that if an Eid Echad says that I owe you money, I'll pay you the money. But I changed my mind. There's no way in the world I'm going to pay you based on an Eid Echad. I have rights based on the Torah that I shouldn't have to pay you unless you can prove your case with two Eidim. You only have an Eid Echad. I'm not interested. And that's the case of the Mishnah where Rameir says that poisel eid of shalzeh, v'zeh poisel eid of shalzeh. So the Gemara says it could be that this is the machlokes. I mean, it's not a case where you're just frivolously going ahead and you're being poisel eid of shalzeh. It's a case where it's an eid echad. Really, an echad anyway shouldn't be believed. You accepted whatever the eid echad says as if it's two eidim, and now you're backing out. Says the Gemara. The truth is, the next Mishnah, Chavdal and Rav, we're going to have a very similar case. We're going to have a case where two people say that I'll accept your father, let's say, as being the dying. Even though Dina Mammon is B'Shleisha, I'll accept him as an Eid Echad. Or Shleisha Roye Bakr, three people that don't really know much about Halacha. We'll accept whatever they say. Machlokes Rav Meir and the Chachamim, whether you can back out or whether you can't back out. According to Rav Meir, you can back out. According to the Chachamim, you can't back out. So at first glance, this would be L'shita Sayo. This machlokes right here is the same machlokes that we have over there. Could you back out of such a situation? Or could you not back out? Rav Meir says that poisel Eid of Shalzeh. Originally, you accepted the Eid Echad as if he's two. Now you want to back out. You have a right to back out. Whereas the Chachamim say that you can't be poisel Eid of Shalzeh. You can't back out. And it's very geschmack. It's Rav Meir and the Chachamim L'shita Sayo in the Mishnah Daf Chavdal and Amanalev. But the Gemara asks it in the reverse. My Kamash when the Matzi Hadabay, you tell me Pshana Rameir is that you can back out, Tonino. It's a Mishnah later. Amalai, Nemadalai Abba, Nemadalai Avicho, Nemadalai Gimel Rei Bakr. That's the Mishnah we just referenced. Rameir says Yachalach Sabai. The Chachamim says any Yachalach Sabai. Vam Ravdimi, Braid Rav Nachman, Braid Rav Yosef. Ravdimi, Braid Rav Nachman, Braid Rav Yosef said, you're going to Kabli Oleo, Bechat. Taisa doesn't understand why the Gemara quotes Rav Dimi. We'll need that in tomorrow's staff. But Rav Dimi said that this halacha that Rav Meir holds Yochel Achzar is even if you didn't accept three pasul dayanim, even if you only accept one pasul dayan. But the bottom line is, says the Gemara, I hear Rish Lakish's kash. Rish Lakish said, Pek Kodesh Yem Adav Azeh. The Loiva could just tell the Malva, I think your eight is pasul without proving his case, and we're going to knock the eight out. It doesn't make any sense. So what did Rish Lakish say? Tni Eidoi. You're not passing two, you're passing one eid. The Gemara says, Manav Shach. Is the eid trying to be Mechayiv Mamin? Rachmana passed. The Torah said he's passing. Is the eid trying to be Mechayiv Shvua? Eid could be Mechayiv Shvua. So it's the same kasha. Pek Kodesh Yem Adav Azeh. Why should the Leiva be able to knock out the eid Echad HaMechayiv Shvua of the Malva? So the Gemara is talking about where the Echad has been Mechayiv Mamin. And ordinarily, an eid Echad, anyways, is possible to be Mechayiv Mamin. But in this case, Kabli Olah. They took it upon themselves that whatever the eid Echad, and Rameir Lishitasai, who said in the next Mishnah, that if I accept the apostle,
Yochel Achzor, he holds over here Zeh Poisel Eidav Sholzeh. Essentially what he's doing is he's being Chayzer, whereas the Chachamim that hold any Yochel Achzor, they hold you can't pass the Dayan HaShadav. But the Gemara's kasha was, Hotonino Chadazimna, I have the next Mishnah, why do I need it twice? So the Gemara says, Tzrichot Itana Abba Vavichu, because I only had the next Mishnah, I would have thought, Bahok Kami Rabban Adlai Matzi Hadabek. Over there the Rabban said you can't be Chayzer. Shum the Abba Vavichu Chazu La'alma. It's because if, let's say the two Balidinim say, we'll accept your father as one of the Dayanim. My father is one of the Dayanim. My father, your father are kosher Dayanim. They're just not kosher if I'm one of the Balidinim, because to me they're a Karev. But really they're kosher. So it could be it's over there that the Rabbanan said you can't be Chayzer, because the Dayan, although he's puzzled for this court case, but he's someone that in a vacuum is a dying kosher. So being that in a vacuum is a dying kosher, maybe then you can't be chayzer. But in our case, we're accepting an eidechah like two eidim, de la'almo lo'ichazi, where he's never considered kosher, I would think that it's never going to be okay. V'yashmi, that you could always be chayzer. V'yashmi nebaha, and had we only had ours, I would think, maybe Rameir said only over here you could be chayzer. Avo bahi over there, maybe the mayor would be moed rabbana, you can't be chayzer again, because there the aid is someone that really is a kosher. So the Gemara said, tzricha. It's for that reason, there's a tzricha. So but why did we mention Reish Lakish? The reason we mentioned Reish Lakish is because we said that when Rameir says, that poysel dayanish shalzeh, that poysel dayanish shalzeh, it doesn't mean even a dayan mumcha. It only means like like Rabbi Yechanan said. But a Dayan Mumcha you can't passel, because it doesn't make sense. Kol Kamine, that was the Gemara's Kasha. How could you passel a Dayan Mumcha? The Gemara's Kasha was, but you see, is that Poisel Eidav Shosef, is that Poisel Eidav Shosef? And an Eid Kosher is like a Dayan Mumcha. So you see, you could. What's the teretz? The teretz is, Rabbi never said you could just passel Eidav Shosef. Peh Kodesh, Yoy Medover Zeh. What did he mean? He meant when there's an Eid Echad, that you are Mekabo like two, and now you want to be Chayzer. Rameir Lushitasa, who holds you could always be Chayzer. That's Pshad in this Rameir, there's that place of Eidav Shulzeh. But to really disqualify him, of course you can. And by extension, if you have a real Dayan who's a Mumcha, there's no way you'd be able to knock him out. But the Gemara has a problem with what Rameir said. So drop more Gemara. Hamid Iktani Reisha Dayanoi, Visefa Eidav, Alma Davka Iktani. Reish Lakish edited the Mishnah. That what does the Mishnah mean when it says that person Eidav Shalzeh? It's not Eidav, but Tni Eidav. Eid Echad. We're passing only an Eid Echad. Freit the Gemara, I understand sometimes you can edit words in a Mishnah. Not Eidav, Eidav. The problem, this Mishnah, it's very daichik. Because the second case of the Mishnah was that person Dayanoi. Talking about one Dayan. And the next case is that person Eidav. We're talking about two Eidim. So to think that the Tana made a mistake and wrote Eidav instead of Eidai, when it's somehow new to write Dayanoi in the previous case, the contrast just makes it seem very fishy. It just seems very suspicious. It looks very much like Dayanoi, that's the second case of the Mishnah, and Eidav, that's the third case of the Mishnah. Midik Tani Reisha Dayanoi, V'Seifa Eidav, Alma Dafguk Tani, Am Rabbi Loza. So because of this, Rabbi Loza said another Pshat. You know Pshat Rameir? Pet Kodesh Yem Adover Zeh? How could the Leiva just go and passel the Malvas Dayanim? It's Beba Huva Acha Lepoislam. It's talking about where he's not just passeling him by himself. He's really coming with somebody else. He has another aid, and he's really passeling him. He's saying that he's really, really passel. So the Leiva is an aid Echad, and he has another aid Echad along with him, disqualifying the aidin that the Malva brought. Says the Gemara, but that doesn't help us, because Kol Kimini Negebe Dusayu. He shouldn't be believed. Isn't the Leiva Negev Eidos? Is he Negev Eidos to say that the Malva is Eidim Apostle? Because if the Malva is Eidim Apostle, the Malva doesn't have Eidim that the Leiva owes him money, so he's going to walk out profiting from this. So isn't he Negev Eidos? It's talking about a case where he's not just saying in the Veltarine that he's Apostle, he's proving it. He's proving that he's a Gazlan, meaning he saw him steal. He's right in Negev Eidos. Says the Gemara, Elo Irr the Pekamish. The error was, he said, not only is this a apostle, he said his whole family is apostle. He said he's an Eved, for example. And his father was an Eved, his Eder was an Eved. Why does that help anything? So if the Leiva comes with another Eid, and he wants to disqualify the Eide Malva by saying this Pagam Mishpacha, that somehow makes him not an Negev Eidos, at the end of the day, he's an Negev Eidos. Because if we disqualify the Eidim of the Malva, then the Leiva is going to win. Says the Gemara, I'll tell you why. Rameir Savar, Rameir holds a lumbus. Hani Amishpacha Kamisadi. These Eidim are really not saying Eidos only on this Eid, or on these Eidim. He's saying Eidos on the Ganse Mishpacha, the Iyu Memeil Kapasel. And he's just becoming apostle Memeil. Rabbanon Tzavid, Rabbanon Hol, Soif, Soif, Negev Be'edus. So at the end of the day, he's really a Negev Be'edus. In other words, Rameir is saying that if you go and you passel
an entire family. And by derivative, this particular aid is going to be possible. It doesn't render me an Negev Eidus. Even though it's in my interest for this aid to be possible, but I'm not focusing my Eidus on him per se. I'm focusing it on the entire family. It's only by Memela that this aid became possible. Rabbanan say, who cares? At the end of the day, you're saying Eidus that affects you in a positive way. That's Negev Eidus. According to Rabbanan, similar to the concept you have, like, by Ein Hocha Momen Achar Roiv. You can't go by Momen Achar Roiv. But if the Roiv is not Machria the Momen, it's Machria something more general. And Agav Urchi, Mammon will be affected as well. Maybe that's not Enochav. You find this Yisoid in many halachas, many suyas. But the bottom line is, so we had over here a kasha, where Rish Meir said in the end of the Mishnah, Zeh Poisav Eidav Shazeh, and Rish Lakish said, Pek Kaddish Yehme Dover Zeh, is it possible that a Pek Kaddish would have said something like this? There's no way in the world Rameir would have said, you could just frivolously go out and pass someone else's Eid. So we had two terutzim. The first terutz is, it's not Eidav, but rather it's Eidoi. It's talking about where originally the Loiva had taken upon himself that if the Malva brings an Eid Echad, he will accept what the Eid Echad says as if he was to aid him. And now he backed out. That's the halacha. Ramei holds you can back out. It's Ramei L'shitasa in the Mishnah Daf Chavdal. But now the Gemara said, why you need both Mishnahs? But the point is that it's not a regular classic, I'm just knocking out your Eid. You anyways only have an Eid Echad, and your whole Eid Echad only has a koyach, because I agree to it. I don't agree to it anymore. Ramei holds Yachal Lachsa. Second chat the Gemara says, he's talking about where he's not just passeling him. He's actually saying Eidus, that he's a real apostle. He said the Eidus with somebody else. Rameir is saying a chiddush. Rameir is saying that even though you would have thought I'm in a gebe eidos, so if I'm in a gebe eidos, I should be possible eidos, being that the eidos that he said doesn't just affect this aid, it affects the entire family. The iu, memela, it's just the memela that he's kapossel. It's for that reason it doesn't bother me. So these are two pshatim, I had to understand Rameir. Either way, we pick up now on the third and the fourth pshatim of the Gemara to try to explain Shitas Rameir. Yes, Rav Dimi, Yom Rav Yechon. Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, so Rav Dimi was from Bavel. He famously traveled abroad. He went to Eretz Yisrael to learn Torah by the great Rosh Yeshiva, the great Amir Rabbi Yochanan. And when he came back to Bavel, he reported a lot of different things that he had heard from Rabbi Yochanan. So he came back and said, I'm going to tell you what Rabbi Yochanan said when he gave shir in Masechta Sanhedrin. He said, Machloikas b'shtei kitei eidim. Machloikas remained the Chachamim in our Mishnah is talking about where there were two kitei eidim, where the Malva walked into Bezin and the Malva says, Shimon, he's my loiva, he owes me $1,000. I loaned the money. They say, really? Do you have Eidim? He says, yes. I have two Kitei Eidim. I have Reuven and Shimon, Avlevi and Yehuda. I have two Kitei Eidim that can prove that I'm right. Now, there's a machlekes in Shas. If somebody walks into Bezdin and he tells Bezdin that I have a whole bunch of different rayas that I'm right, does he have to demonstrate all the rayas? Or maybe not? What's the tzadna? To the extent he doesn't really need those. Like, I have two pairs of Eidim. You don't need two pairs of Eidim. All you need is one. Or maybe no. Once he opened his mouth, put his foot in his mouth, right? He said that he has two pairs of Eidim. Once you say you have two Kitei Eidim, it could be at that point you have no choice, but you have to live up to that. Says the Gemara, Rameir holds Sarach Levar. Rameir holds that anytime a person adds additional proof that he didn't have to add in Bezdin, he needs to be Mevar. If Rabbanan Sabri, Rabbanan hold, and it's Sarach Levar, he doesn't have to be Mevar. But if we were talking about a classic case where the Malva just had one Kat Eidos, and everybody would agree, like Rish Lakish commented, Pek Hadish Yomer Zeh, it's Pashit, everybody would agree that there's no way for the Leiva to be able to pass him. So what's Pashit Pshat in the Gemara? Pashit Pshat in the Gemara, what Rav Dini came back and said from Rabbi Yechanan was that we weren't talking again about a regular case where the Malva has two Eidim and now the Leiva is going to disqualify him. It's talking about where the Malva came with two Eidim, but he said he has another two Eidim. Being that he said he has another two Eidim, regardless of whether the first two Eidim are found to be kosher apostle, it will have zero impact on the outcome of this court case. You know why? Because Maman of Shach, the Malva, according to Rameir, is going to have to bring the other two Eidim. And if the other two Eidim are kosher, even if the first two Eidim are possible, who cares? Lamaisi has Eidim kosher. And Rashi speaks out that even Rameir, who the Gemara is saying now, holds Sarach Levar. So if I say I have two Kitei Eidim, you have to bring two Kitei Eidim. It just means you have to deliver both Kitei Eidim. But it doesn't mean that both Kitei Eidim have to be kosher. He never said that they're kosher. Maybe they're possible. He just said that I'm telling you now, there were four people that witnessed it. Two Kitim. There's Reuven and Shimon, there's Levi Yehuda, they could both come and they could say Eidos. But the point is that if you hold Sarach Levar, the Malva regardless is going to have to deliver the second Kat Eidim. So what's your problem? The problem is if the Leiv is going to disqualify the first Kitei Eidim, isn't he a Negei of Eidos? Because doesn't it benefit him by knocking out the first two Eidim? Says the Gemara, not really. You know why? Because Manav Shach, the Malva is going to have to bring the other two Edom. And if the other two Edom are going to testify what the Malva said, anyways, the Loiva is going to have to pay. And if the other two Edom aren't going to be able to testify, anyways, the Loiva is not going to have to pay. So regardless of whether the first two Edom are kosher or apostle, it really doesn't have any major bearing on the outcome of this halach. But that's all true if the old Tzarech Levar. The Rabbanon hold ain't Tzarech Levar. So being that ain't Tzarech Levar, the Malva is not going to have to bring the other two Edom. So what if he never brings the other two Edom? All he had were these first two Edom. The Loiva shouldn't be allowed, even as one of two Edom, to disqualify that Ed, because he's going to be a Negei Be'edus. And that is precisely the Machlokes. Ramei Yosav HaTzarech Levar. Thus, you're not a Negei Be'edus when you knock out the first two Edom, because Manav Shach the Malva has to bring the second Kat Edus. Rabban and Tzari ain't Tzarech Levar. But Avot Bekat Achas, Divri HaKoyl, ain't Yochol Leplace. Amr Lufan of Rabbi Rav Asi, ain't Shamel HaKat Achas Mal. What if there was only one Kat? Could you disqualify or not? It says, ain't Shamel HaKat Achas, Varmet. Right, we just said, Avot Bekat Achas, Divri HaKoyl, ain't Yochol Leplace. Rabbi Yechon the Kimta was, that we're talking about where there were two Kitei Eden, and there a mayor holds the Loiva is believed to knock out the first cot. But if there's only one cot in the first place, that's a classic Negei Be'edus. That's when Rish Lakish commented, Pe Kodesh Yemed Avazah. There's no way in the world, there's no way to make sense of what a mayor is saying. Elo. No, that wasn't what Ravami Ravasi said. What they wanted to know, Nimtzas Kat Shnia Kreven Mupsulamau. According to a mayor, where the Loiva teamed up with another Eid Echad and passed the first cot Eidos. It was okay. Why was it okay? Because it wasn't considered Negei Be'edos, because Manav Shach, the Malva, had to bring another Kat Edos. Then the Malva delivered the other Kat Edos, but we found out that the second Kat was possible. So now, Hover Hadova L'mafreya, that the Malva doesn't have a case against the Leiva, because the second Kat Edos was found to be possible, and the first Kat Edos was found to be possible. The problem is the first Kat Edos was found to be possible, Adarich the Leiva. And if that's the case, the Leiva is Edos, which is a now L'mafreya, an Eidos of Negeya Bedavar, Negeya Be'edos, is being admissible in court, where we know the halach is that you can never accept a Negeya Be'edos. So the Shaila was, if now Nimtzas Kachnia Krevim Upsulim, now we found the second Kadedos Bikarva Puzzle, now do we say L'mafreya, we can't accept the first Eidos anymore because it's Negeya Be'edos or not? Amalemsi told him, no. Once the first two Edom said Eidos, we accept their Eidos, and you can't say that at the time it wasn't Negei Be'edos, because we knew there was another cat. Now something happened to the other cat, so the Mafreya, we shouldn't accept the first Eidos, there's no reason to say that. Ikadami, some say, I'm a Rav Ashi, that it wasn't Rav Yochanan who answered this question, but it was Rav Ashi who answered this question. He said the same exact teretz, Kvar he idu Edom Rishonim. Either way, what we're saying now is that this Machloikis remained the Chachamim in our Mishnah. This very cryptic Machloikis between Rav Meir and the Chachamim in our Mishnah is really totally in a larger machloikis. It's totally in a machloikis of if somebody says, I have two kitei edim, tzarech levar or ain't tzarech levar, does he have to bring both kitei edim or not? Ordinarily, you don't need two kitei edim. But here he said he has two kitei edim, like we said before, he put his foot in his mouth. So once he does that, maybe he has no choice. Maybe he has to deliver. Says the Gemara, name of the Rabbi Rav Shem Gamliel, come if you this would seem to be machloikis, Rabbi Rav Shem Gamliel, tiny ruin to the price. And this is another very cryptic machloikis tanam and chas. And if it sounds familiar, it's because it was a Gemara in Bava Basra, daf kuf samich tes amud beis, one of the very last daf in the Sechtes Bava Basra. What was the case? Habol lidoim b'shtar uvechazaka nidem b'shtar divrei Rebbe. Reb Shimon ben Gamliel oimer nidem b'chazaka. So just the ivritaych. If somebody comes to Bez, then he says, I have a shtar and a chazaka, claiming that a piece of property belongs to him. So Rebbe says nidem b'shtar. Reb Shimon Gamliel said nidoin b'chazaka. Vavina ba b'chazaka v'lo b'shtar ele'ema af b'chazaka. So what's the machloikis? So the Gemara Bava Basra over there had four different pshat and had to understand Pashu pshat in this machloikis Rebbe Rav Shimon Gamliel. But the pshat that's negei l'inyoneinu is where Reuven goes over to Shimon. Shimon's been living in a field for 5 years. Really, 3 years. And he says, what are you doing in this field? This field is mine. So he tells him, number one, I have a shtar that I bought it for you. From you. And number two, I've been living here for 3 years. You were never Meicha. I have a Cheskes Gimel Shon. Now we know that once a person lives in a field for 3 years, even if he has no shtar, he can't prove that this field is his, but the fact that he's been living there for 3 years and nobody was Meicha is what we know as a Cheskes Gimel Shonim of Cheskes Habatim fame. It's a Cheskes Rai, and at that point, he gets the keep the field, right? There's two chazakas when you talk about karka. There's cheskas kinyan, you can acquire karka al yedei chazaka. And then there's cheskas raya. Cheskas raya is where I have a chazaka, I've been living here for 3 years, nobody was meicha, so even though I don't have a shtar, I'm okay. So once you're living in a field for 3 years, You don't have to have a shtar. The chazok itself would work. What happened over here was this guy again put his foot in his mouth. What he did was when the ma'arer came to him and he said, "What are you doing in my field?" He said, "Slow down. Number one, I have a shtar. Number two, I have a cheskes gimel shalom." Now, had he not said he has a shtar, he would never have to produce a shtar in Beis Din. But once he said he has a shtar in this beer of the machlokes Rebbe Rav Shimon Gamliel, there was a machlokes tanoim whether he taka has to bring the shtar or not. The kaim alon the betzorich levarer pligi, meaning Rebbe said haboli doim b'shtar v'chazok. If somebody says I have two claims to this, meaning I have two proofs that this is mine. Number one, I have a shtar. Number two, I've been here 3 years. Need them b'shtar. At this point, even though technically you shouldn't need the shtar, but if you said you have a shtar, tzorich levarer. You have to back up every time that you make a mezin. Rav Shimon Gamliel argued, and he said no, need them b'chazok. You don't have to have it. What's the machlokes? Because Rebbe holds tzorich levarer. Rav Shimon Gamliel holds ain't tzorich levarer. Meaning Rebbe holds like Rav Meir in our Mishnah that when you say you have two kitei edim, you have to bring both kitei edim. That's Rebbe shita. You said you have a shtar b'chazok, you need to bring the shtar, even though usually you don't need two kitei edim. But if you said you have two kitei edim, tzorich levarer. Ordinarily, if I'm living here for 3 years, I don't need a shtar. But if I said I have a shtar, I have to bring the shtar. Rav Shimon Gamliel holds like the chachamim. The chachamim say that even though you said you have two kitei edim, you don't need to deliver both kitei edim. Ain't tzorich levarer. That's shita Rav Shimon Gamliel. That even though he said he has a shtar, but he doesn't need to bring the shtar. As long as he has a chazak, it's going to be okay. So at first glance, it would seem very nice and neat to say that the machlokes Remeir and the Chachamim in the Mishnah and Zebayir is totally in the Veltz machlokes, Rebbe and Reshbag, that very cryptic machlokes. Habal nidem b'shtar v'chazaka, nidem b'shtar, nidem b'chazaka. But the Gemara says, loy, alibi d'Rav Shimon Gamliel, could be according to Rav Shimon Gamliel, that said that where somebody says he has a shtar and a chazaka, he doesn't have to deliver the shtar, kul damo d'pligi. It could be there would be no machlokes. Meaning everybody would hold that if Rav Shimon Gamliel holds, ain't tzarech levar, you don't have to bring the shtar to Beis Din. So too, if somebody says he has two kitei edim, ain't tzarech levar, he would not have to bring both pairs of edim. There's no way Rav Meir could have said his halacha according to Rav Shimon Gamliel. Meaning, Rav Meir would concede that according to Rav Shimon Gamliel, who holds ain't tzarech levar by shtar v'chazaka, ain't tzarech levar here too. However, he pleaded alibi the Rebbe. But it could be the machloikas Rav Meir and the Chachamim was in Rebbe Gufa. Meaning, it's not that Rav Meir holds like Rebbe and the Chachamim hold like Reshbag. It could be the machloikas Rav Meir and the Chachamim Gufa is in Shitas Rebbe. They both held like Rebbe by Habo Lida and Beshtar v'chazaka. They were just arguing how far to take Rebbe's halacha. The Rav Meir, Rebbe. Rav Meir holds like Rebbe. Very simple. Just like Rebbe holds Shtar v'chazaka, you need to bring the Shtar. So do I hold. If somebody says he has two kitei edim, you better bring both kitei edim. Rabban and Amilach, the Rabban, I'm going to tell you, Adkan, come in Rebbe Hassan, maybe Rebbe only said his halacha by shtar v'chazaka. You know why? The mikoyach shtara kasi. Because the koyach of chazaka works mikoyach shtar. What does that mean? So, because if a person would walk into Beis Din and say that really this field that the person's being ma'arer on was once his field. However, I've been living here for 3 years, and being that I've been living here for 3 years, I get to keep it. So what's that called in Cheskes Habatim lingo? It's called the shtar she ein imata, a chazok she ein imatayin. A chazok she ein imatayin is not a chazok. Every Cheskes Gimel Shalom has to have a taina. I have to say that I once bought it from you, and I just punked lost my shtar. So the every single claim of Cheskes Gimel Shalom starts with a shtar. The shtar was lost. My proof now is not my shtar, because I don't have it. My proof now is the fact that I've been living here. But being that every chazaka has to be imataina, it suggests that once upon a time, in the beginning of days, there was a shtar. So the chazaka is mikoyach shtar ka'asi. So even though the chazaka works in lieu of a shtar, but if I said I have a shtar, I better bring a shtar. Aval hacha, but over here, where a person says, I have two kitei edim, dahani edim, lab mikoyach edim, achridi kasu, the koyach of the second karedus has nothing to do with the koyach of the first karedus. The two kitei edim have nothing to do with each other. They're both powerful, independent of each other. Could be a fellow Rebbe Moedah than Tzarech Levar. I mean, it could be the only reason the Gemara is saying Rebbe said Tzarech Levar by Shtar v'Chazaka is because the Chazaka somehow is secondary to the Shtar. Every Chazaka starts off as I'm bimkoim the shtar. So the bimkoim only works if I'm claiming I don't have a shtar. But once you claim you have a shtar, now you have to deliver the shtar. But the two kitei edim have nothing to do with each other. So it's not muchach that the machlokes Rav Meir Chachamim is goof of the machlokes Rebbe Shimon Gamliel. It could be they were arguing in how far Rebbe said his halacha. Did Rebbe say his halacha only b'shtar v'chazaka? Or maybe Rebbe said his halacha by two kitei edim as well. Either way, that's the third pshat of the machlokes Rav Meir Chachamim the Mishnah. The third pshat in the machloikis, Rav Meir Chachamim is, how could Rav Meir hold that posel of Edel Shalzeh, Omer Ishlokish, Pekodesh, Yemedover Zeh? talking about where the Malva said he has two kite edim. The loiva pasol the edim with another aid. Ordinarily, being a gay, the edos, the midra, a mayor holds anyway, sarach levayr. So you're not in a gay edos, because Marav Shach, the Malva is going to have no choice but to bring another pair of edim. He also, Ravin, Amr Rabbi Yechanan. When Ravin, who also lived in Bavel, went to learn in Eretz Yisrael by Rabbi Yechanan, and he too came back like Rav Dimi and reported different halachas that he heard from Rabbi Yechanan. So he came and he said a fourth pshat in our Mishnah, a second pshat in the name Rabbi Yechanan, and that is Reisha. What was the Reisha? Where a mayor said Zeh Poisel Dayanoi Shalzeh is talking about the Edim Sulim, the Dayanim Chair. In both cases, the Reisha and the Seifa, again, the Reisha is Zeh Poisel Dayanoi Shalzeh, the Seifa Zeh Poisel Edo Shalzeh. Both the Reisha and the Seifa, really, the Loiva is passeling the Dayan and the Edim. Both cases. The Dayan is passel and the Ed is passel. The Dayan is passel and the Ed is passel. In the Reisha, what happened was we proved that the Edim are passel. We were able to verify that what the Loiva was saying was right. We just weren't able to verify what he said about the Dayanim, whether that's right or not. So that the only way we can disqualify the Dayanim or the Dayin is by accepting what the Loiva said. He came into Bez and he said, I have a problem with this Malva. Number one, I don't trust Zeh Boir Lo Yechad, I don't trust his Dayin. Questionable character. I think he's on the Malva's payroll. I don't trust the aid because I think I'm a little worried about it. So Bezin went and did their due diligence, and lo and behold, in the Reisha, they found out this aid was possible. He was a bad guy. He was a gazlan. This guy is no shaychus to being a kosher aid. Says Rameyer, migu de pasli aidim. Being that we found out that what he said regarding the aidim was true, pasli nami dayani. That gives us a basis now to accept what he said about the dayanim as well. So you want to know why he's believed, kol kamine, that was the Gemara's kash on chav gimel amad aleph, why the loiva would be believed to just knock out the zeh boir lo yechad? Because he already demonstrated that he's onto something. He demonstrated that there's some authenticity to his argument. Because he said the eight is possible and the nine is possible, and he knocked out the eight. That was in the ratio. Seifa was in the reverse. We were able to prove independently that the Dayanim were possible, but the Edim, we don't know. They're kosher. The Migu, the Pasli, Dayanim, Pasli, Nami, Edim. You have a Migu. So the kasha was, Pech Kodesh Yehmed Ovar Zeh, why should the Levi be believed to just indiscriminately pasul the aid of the Malva? It's not so indiscriminate. There's a basis to believe what he's saying. Because he passed the aid and he passed the dayan. And we saw that what he said about the dayan was true. So it makes sense as a reglaim ledover to say that what he's saying about the aid is possible as well. But maskev Rava. Rava was unhappy. I'm okay with the first migo, that we'll believe him that the dayan is possible because he showed that he was telling the truth regarding the aidim. I can live with that. You know why? Because just because you knocked out his Zebar Le'echel, what does that mean? Doesn't mean the Malva doesn't have a case. It means he has to go find another Dayan. El amigo de pasli Dayani, pasli nami Eidim. That I can't live with, said Rava. Because v'ha Eidim Suleka, maybe he doesn't have another Eid. And if he doesn't have another Eid, you're knocking out his whole case. And really, what it means is that he's in a gay of Eidos. So at the end of the day, Migus and Ipas Morgan. But at the end of the day, how could the Loiva with a Koyach of Migus say Eidos where there's a real negay in the ratio? It's not so in a gay of Eidos because you're not killing his case. You're just saying, I don't trust that Rav. Go find another Rav. But in the Sefer, how many eight? Maybe this is the only eight he has. And if this is the only eight or the only two eight that he has, Migu shouldn't be enough, says the Gemara, Loitzricha, when Ravin reported from Rabbi Yechanan. That the reason the Loiva is believed to knock out Eid of Shalmalva, it must have been talking about the Kikat Acheres, where there was another Kad Eidim. Why does that help? If there's another Kad Eidim, so he's not in the Gebe Eidos. That's why he's believed with Amigu. Haleka Kat Acheres, Mayhochi Namid Loimotzi Pasli. But if there was not another Kad Eidos, he wouldn't be believed. Freik de Gemara, Hainu de Rav Dimi. Isn't that Rav Dimi's Pshat? So at the end of the day, we ran in circles here because we ended up in the same place. What Rav Dimi said in the name of Rabbi Yechanan and what Ravin said in the name of Rabbi Yechanan was essentially the same thing. Halcha b'mayaskinam, where there were two kitei eidim. Now, what would you answer? Very simply, I would say it's true. That prat in Rabbi Yechanan's mahalach in the Mishnah is the same. Halcha b'mayaskinam, where there were two kitei eidim. But we took two very different routes to get there. How so? According to Rav Dimi, it's because Rav Meir holds Sarech Levar. According to Ravin, it's because there's a Migu, because he passed the Eidim, and he passed the Dayanim, and there's a Migu that the Dayanim are passed, so the Eidim are also passed. It's true, you need the same Akimta that there's two Kitei Eidim, but L'chura, they're not saying the same thing. The reason why there's an Amanus is for two different reasons. According to Rav Dimi, it has nothing to do with a Migu, it has nothing to do with the Loiva proving that he's saying something because he passed the Dayanim. It's based on what? It's based on the fact that once the Malva said he has two kite edim, I'm not in the game the edis anymore to pass on the first kite edis, because Malva Shechta Malva has to bring the second kite edis. Whereas what Robin is saying is based on a migu, says the Gemara. Ikebeinayu migu, the marsav amrin amigu, marsav alo amrin amigu. Now, make a lot of sense that that's what the Gemara's teretz is, exactly what we just said. I am b'marsha, I am b'teres chayim. The problem is Rashi doesn't say that. You know what Rashi says? Ravin sovar amrin amigu ba'alma. That throughout Shas, Robin holds you could always say migu. And I'm skipping a line. As if the Gemara's teretz is that Ravin's pshat is based on amigo. Rav Dimi's pshat is not based on amigo. You know what Ikebeinayu is? This has global ramifications. This has nafkaminas in every single masach in Shas. Do you say migu or do you not say migu? Number one, why would Rashi say such a pshat? Why do you have to walk away from the sugya thinking that Rav Dimi never holds of migu? Why would Rashi A need to say that? And B, migu ba'alma, it sounds like Rashi saying all the migus in Shas. Rashi saying, according to Rav Dimi, there is no such migu. The Chasam Sofer is bothered with it in a tshuva. You can take a look at Chayshu Mishpat, Simin Gimel. I am b'marsha, I am b'teres chayim.